It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's great to have you joining us today. We're in John chapter 16. We're going to begin reading with the 20th verse, from verse 20 down through verse 25. And so would you please open your Bibles and look up John chapter 16. We'll begin reading with verse 20. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Glad that you've joined us. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along as we read today. John chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your joy shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of the Word today. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us as we study your precious Word. It's so important that we follow after your way and follow after your will each and every day, and that we seek your will and be obedient to it, Lord. Help us to do so. Guide and lead us now as we study your precious Word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look to the 20th verse, and we're going to return there in just a little bit as each time we come together and do a short review. But first, before, we're going to begin with the 21st verse and go through verse 21 and 22, and then that will return us back to verse 20. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. We need to, woman in travail, as the Scripture calls it here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, to begin with, to see what happened here, where this originated, where this came from. Genesis chapter 3, the 16th verse. We have the first gospel is presented in the 15th verse, and I guess in order to kind of keep it into context for you, I'm going to begin with Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sorrow and multiply thy sorrow, greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. We look at the woman in travail. Any woman that has given birth to a child understands the pain, the great pain that is involved there. The hour, and it speaks here in the Scripture, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. And so, yes, the sorrow, the great pain that is there. And so that is very evident, and we know of that without question. We read the reason for it is because of the curse, and that's because of the disobedience. Eve chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, and she in turn handed it to Adam. And so all of mankind have fallen, and everyone since that time has been born into sin. Adam and Eve were not born into sin. They were created perfect and in every way, and they had everything perfect. God told them what to do and what not to do, and they just couldn't stand it. The old serpent looked, made it so attractive that they chose to be disobedient to God, and by being disobedient unto the Lord, we have fallen into sin, and we have been there and will be there forever until we leave this body. And those that choose not to come by faith to the Lord Jesus will be eternally in that condition of sin. It will never leave them. The pain, the suffering, the guilt, it will never leave them. But for every person that comes by faith to Jesus Christ, there is an escape. There is a way out. There is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We find here with this woman, as this pain, this was something that was given then because of her disobedience. When you give birth to a child, there will be great pain. There will be excruciating pain at that time. And so as they look at the time that this is going to come, and it's given to each time at childbirth. Now, the pain is tremendous. It says here, because her hour has come, the time of delivery. But the Scripture also tells us here that the hour will be short. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, no more the pain. So we have not only the great pain, the level of pain, we have the hour has come, in other words, delivery, but we are also told that hour is upon the birth of that child, of which that hour maybe seem like an eternity, but it is just a short time. When that child is born, when we see the child, when we hold the child, the hour of that great pain will pass. It'll disappear. The birth of this living child is joy, and so much joy that the pain will leave. Now that's what we are given here, and as for the disciples and speaking to them in this example that he gives them in this 21st verse, again, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. A man is born into the world. It is wonderful today to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, come by faith to Him, and be saved. These disciples were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, were believers, true believers, and they were following Him. And there's a time that's going to come, and that time is a time of separation, and that separation is going to come by an awful means, a painful means, even for these disciples to watch and to witness, but nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Himself is experiencing as He hangs upon that cross and takes all of your sin and my sin upon Himself to the cross and takes those sins away that you and I might live. As that opportunity has come, that time has come, and when that time arrived, he is telling his disciples here, and we've been through this several times, verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. We've talked about all the things that can stand for. It can stand for the immediate, which is when he goes to the cross, dies upon the cross, is buried, and stays in the grave for 3 days, then comes out and will be with him for 40 days, and he goes to be with the Father. It also can mean as a person lives and dies, and when we die, if you die in Jesus Christ and you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, immediately your soul goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we see him clearly, and so we'll be back into fellowship with with him as his being present, to be present with him. Also, the coming of the Lord Jesus. We know that he is coming to get his church. We call it the rapture. There's going to be a time very soon when he is going to come here. We will meet him in the air, and it goes in a couple of steps. The first step is that those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in Jesus, those, the graves will be opened, and their soul and their body will be reunited, and they'll meet the Lord in the air. So will we, if I am alive and I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, then too I will be taken up. I'll receive a new body, a glorified body, and we will forever be with the Lord. So there's going to be a time very soon when each believer in the Lord Jesus will see him face to face once again. But the time, there's a time right now, and he's speaking to his disciples, and clearly for that time of the death, burial, and resurrection, those 3 days. But there is going to be a time, and we don't think it to be so, because everything to us, time is all important to everybody, and yet time is really nothing, and especially to God, time is nothing. He has everything set to a certain and a given time. But we value everything. We have 5 minutes to do this and 10 minutes to do that. And in relationship to our time, our being here upon this earth is just as a vapor in relationship to eternity. So you see there, if you call this a short time, because eternity is just what it says, forever and forever and forever. And it's wonderful that you can know, I can know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can walk with the Lord Jesus here upon this earth, enjoy the fellowship. We've talked about the Comforter in this 16th chapter. There's been a lot in this 16th chapter. It's taken us a while to get through it. But to know the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will come to live within the heart of each believer, will keep us, secure us, and we can enjoy the walk each and every day. This pain that the disciples was about to face, pain that you face here upon earth, is real pain. There's no question. Sometimes that pain is very sharp, and it certainly is going to be a sharp pain to these disciples as they watch their Savior, their God, who they thought was going to set up his kingdom upon this earth, as they watch him nailed to the cross and die there and then buried in the grave. What pain and suffering, and again, it's going to be a very sharp pain. And it's going to be very real. They think everything is finished. They think that I guess it's over now. He's dead. They've put him in the grave. It's over with. They didn't remember what he said. And so it was a horrible time for these disciples. And sometimes when in our life, we manage to look another direction. We look away from the Lord Jesus Christ for our power and for our strength. And when we do so, something takes place. Not only does the joy disappear, but the pain arrives. And so we need to always keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. To begin with here, he is saying, yes, the pain, it's going to be a real pain. It's going to be a sharp pain, but it won't be long. It won't be long that I will return. So please, don't totally lose control of yourself here, because the time is going to be very short, and I will be back. And again, any time that the Lord Jesus is absent from our heart and from our mind, in other words, we begin to be taken in by the world and the things of the world, and we desire those things, when that happens, it's so quick that we lose the joy and pick up the pain. Please, that we always look to the Lord Jesus. The joy will return. Too often we find that the joy has done the opposite. The joy has left us. Even this life, as we're awaiting for the next, we get our eyes so much upon the things of this world and not the things of God and not the things of the Lord Jesus. Please, we should be in prayer and in fellowship always with the Lord, that we will have his joy and have peace and not be tied into all the things of this life. Acts chapter 8, we should have our life tied to things of another life. I'm sorry, not Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. You know, while we're waiting, there will be time of pain and suffering. But that time will be short. And so as we look at the immediate picture for these disciples of the crucifixion, the death, the brutal beatings and the judgment hall that Jesus had to face, and then the cross and the suffering upon the cross, the dying upon the cross, and then being gone for 3 days as he was buried in the grave, that's what he was talking about immediately. But right now, and then also he promises them that I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And he sends them the Holy Spirit, of which we have today. But there is, as long as the curse is here, Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, "And for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." As long as we're on this earth, this cursed earth, as the curse was placed upon a woman as she gives birth to a child, the curse of sin is upon this earth and is upon us, because we're born, each one of us, into sin. Yes, we can come by faith to Jesus Christ. We can be saved, but we're still here. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us and to lead us and to teach us, but we're still here. We still fall. We still have the problems with this world and with this life because our sinful flesh. We make wrong decisions. We make bad decisions because we follow after the things of the world. We will groan, and we're awaiting the time that Jesus Christ will come, or that I will go into the grave and my soul will go into the presence of the Lord Jesus, awaiting the gathering together of those bodies and the souls and the bodies being reunited. Back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. We look at another verse of Scripture here. Revelation 21:4. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's a promise that a believer has. If you'll come by faith to Jesus Christ today, this groaning, this old world, this old pathetic world that we live in, there's going to be a time that is going to be perfect. And as we await the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get his church, then we'll watch a time of 7 years of tribulation, of the most awful time that was ever experienced upon this earth. The close of the tribulation will be the battle of Armageddon. The Lord Jesus Christ will return for the second time. He came once, born as a baby. He's going to come the next time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will come and destroy the enemy and begin his rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. At the close of that 1,000 years, there's going to be a judgment held for the lost. You know, I told you those that are saved, the graves will be opened and their body and their soul be reunited at the rapture of the church. Well, 1,007 years later, all those that died without Jesus Christ through all of eternity. And so if it would happen right now, if it would happen right now, why, we're looking at about 7,000 years that some of those bodies have laid in this old dirt upon this earth. And those bodies will come back out, they'll be reunited with their soul, and they will be cast eternally into the lake of fire. And they will not have what we have just read here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, because there will be constantly tears. There'll be a constant reminder of death and of pain and of crying. The sorrow will be forever. Nothing will pass away for those of you that choose not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Please come to the cross of Calvary and be saved. You must be saved today. Do you want to leave the sorrow? Do you want to leave that hurt and that pain and that sorrow? then come to Jesus Christ today. And yes, as these disciples were followers of the Lord Jesus, and they were about to face a time of suffering because of the absence of the Lord Jesus, we too, within our own bodies, will have this groaning, and it will continue until the Lord Jesus comes to get us, or we face the grave. Whichever comes first. The sorrow of His leaving here, but the joy of His return. Please, as we look now at the rest of it here, we find for joy that a man is born into the world. There's a joy that's coming. That joy is a joy that every believer can have here upon earth, but it's going to be kind of handicapped. It's not going to be a full joy. The full joy will come when we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But know, as this story, as this example gives us here, is that it's going to be the time of sorrow will be a short time, and the time of joy we'll find is going to be eternal. Verse 22, John 16:22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Isn't it wonderful, the promise? And the reason that promise can be made is because the Comforter is coming. The Comforter will come and come into the heart of every believer. And even though that joy can be kind of suppressed, can be brought down for a time, the Holy Spirit is continually bringing us back to the Lord Jesus Christ and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus, and you don't take your eyes off of Him. And again, yes, the sorrow at His leaving, well, it's kind of the same way with us today. When we leave the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit's still in our heart, but we walk away and walk into the things of the world and participate with things of the world, that sorrow will be there. But the joy, when we come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, we're not losing our salvation, but we're losing our fellowship, and the joy will leave us as well. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. As we look back into the Old Testament, love the Word of God, love looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, both. Psalms 30, verse 5. And as we look at that verse of Scripture, "For His anger endureth but a moment, and in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. It is wonderful to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and know the victory that we can have. Joy. Joy that I will see you again, the Lord Jesus is telling the disciples. A joy, your heart shall rejoice. And the joy that's going to last forever, for no man taketh it from you. And so you see the promises here in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, is the first point. Your heart shall rejoice, is the second. And the third is a promise, because it is a forever joy, because no man can take it from you. No man can take it from you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I love to back Scripture with Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." We should praise God for the triumph we have in Jesus Christ. There is 1,000 things, there is 10,000 things in this old world that can rob us of the joy of God. Yet always we can return if we'll just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That joy will return if we turn to Jesus. Again, there is 1,000, there is 10,000 things that can take the joy away. But my friend, please, as a believer, I'm talking to you, believer, if that joy is gone today, turn your eyes back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can return. He will strengthen you and return that joy to you. Nothing or no one can separate us from the love of God. We cannot be taken from our God, and our treasure of heaven cannot be taken from us. What promises we have in the Word of God to our relationship with the Lord Jesus and the joy He wants to give us. And it begins, first of all, at the cross of Calvary, where He took our sins away. And you need to accept, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please remember that. And we get into the whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead shall be saved. Please come by faith to Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. What a treasure we have. What a promise we have. Let's go to another verse of Scripture, to John chapter 10, just a few chapters back from where we're studying here. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 29. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe. Says, Yea, Lord, I believe. I'm in the 11th chapter. Beautiful verses of Scripture here. We'll go back to 10 in a minute. And she says, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Again, this is the 11th chapter. If you couldn't find where I was reading, I was a chapter off. We'll go back to the 10th in a second. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What a beautiful question. Now let's go back to the verse of Scripture that I was looking for originally. That's what I love of the Word of God. Even you can find, you have a wrong verse, and it's such a beautiful verse of Scripture to enjoy. John chapter 10, verses 25 through verse 29. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And I say unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, the 30th verse tells us. Oh, that we look to the Word of God and we enjoy it. We look back now to the promises that the world has, because those that do not know the Lord Jesus, those that have taken their eyes away and turned away from the call of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit presented the Son of God, presented Jesus Christ to them as their Savior, showed them their sin, instead of listening to that, they turned away from it. And that in the 20th verse, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. This time of sorrow for a believer is when Jesus is going to be nailed to the cross and die and go into the grave, but the world's going to rejoice. The world rejoices always when the absence of God, when the absence of the Lord Jesus, the world rejoices. But we know that for them there is no escape. And as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, as we look at this wonderful verse of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're looking at the third verse here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. And as we look at that verse of Scripture, For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman, as a child with child, and they shall not escape. That's what's going to happen. They shall not escape. There is no escape for the world if you reject Jesus Christ. Please come today. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him without a question, because it is time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?